Stages of a Christian. As Christians, there is various stages you go through. Some people call it steps. To me, it's a little difference between stages and steps. But there are stages that we all and anyone goes through as a Christian. It's just something I was thinking about. What are some of the stages we go through? So I've got them falling, but one question might be, why? Why even bother? Well, it can at times it might can help when you're witnessing with somebody, kind of determining what stage in the Christian relationship they're at. It might help for how you would witness to somebody at that point in their Christian education. It might just be fun. To me, at times, looking at things like that's fun. It might help internally, okay, what stage am I personally at? You know, and there, one thing this is not is where you should be, because that's something personal, where each person should be and gets to. Everyone's ahead of where they used to be and behind where they're going to be tomorrow or next year. And I will preface, and I'll repeat it later, but the stages are not, it's not like, these are the set stages. But looking back in my life, looking back in my family's life, looking back at people I've watched through church and just other people, I believe these are some pretty accurate stages. First stage we get to, we start out attending church with our parents. Now, this is back when we're little. What else are we going to do? That's the only thing we have to do. As a child, we don't really have any other choice. You can't decide if your parents are Baptist, you're going to be Baptist. You can't go to a Catholic church if your parents are Baptist and you're 2 years old. It just doesn't work. You don't have a license yet. You don't know how to get there. It doesn't really matter. The only way you really have any kind of options is if one parent is of one religion and another parent is another religion. And then you're going to pick one of those two. That's where you start. That's where we all start. It's kind of like registering to vote and voting. You know, I've talked to a lot of people. When you register to vote at first, you register for basically whatever your parents are, or at least one of the two. 95% of the time, that's what's going to happen. So that's where we all start out, is what your parents are. You're taught, you know, if they're Baptist, they teach you what the Baptists bring. If your parents are Catholic, they teach what Catholics believe. The second thing, and this one can kind of maybe been the set third or fourth, and I'm not actually numbering these, because some of them can change a little bit as to when they happen. The second one is generally, as a teenager, you rebel, and you leave church. I was talking with Sandy a little bit on the way, it came up. But a lot of teenagers, as they get older, especially start getting into puberty and different things like that, and they want to start doing things for themselves, like, I don't want to keep going to church. I don't want to do that. I don't understand it. So they leave. Mom, Dad, I don't want to go to church anymore. Now, some parents will make them. You know, there's two schools of thought there. A lot of parents will not mandate. They kind of push them. It's for me and Janie kind of, you know, well, I can't say me, Janie, because my rebellion lasted longer than normal to a degree. You know, you kind of push them to go in with you, but you don't mandate because you don't want to alienate them. Greg and Nancy, three kids. One still in, two out, me and Janie. Charm's here, James is not. I mean, you know, and it's not necessarily because James is in the military. There'd probably only be a 50-50 chance that James would be here if he was local. Charmin got it. He didn't. Mm-hmm. Heather got it. Mm-hmm. Not everyone gets it. That's the second stage. You tend to rebel as a child. Sometime later, you kind of come back generally if you've been taught right. One of the first real pieces in your learning to be a Christian is the next step, which is you notice something is not right. You notice that, you know, they're teaching me these things. They're telling me these things. But this book says something different. It may not be 180 degrees different, but this book is saying something different than they are. to me, I was like about 12 or 13 years old, but that was mainly because I was, my mom was Catholic, so we went through the catechism, that Catholic stuff, and I was like, you just told me that, but we just read that. And I was a kid, you know, I've always been the way. When I saw something that didn't look right, I asked, I said, why? That was just, you know, not everybody does, it's different personalities, but I always asked why. And the person couldn't answer. Said, that's just how it is. I'm like, but that doesn't make sense. So I noticed that part, to me, I noticed that part fairly early. I actually, my rebellion was actually, if you would call it a rebellion, was actually after that point. Most people's, they rebel, then they come back. Then they start noticing things don't match up, right? Now this, you know, and then there's the next step, which kind of relates with this one closely, but not always. But as part of noticing things wrong, there is also asking questions. Now, sometimes you'll notice things don't add up, but you may not ask questions. Some people are less apt to ask questions. You know, I said, I'm going to ask. To me, if you know, someone gets their feelings hurt because I'm asking a question, too bad. You know, I just don't get that. You have different people, different ways. But noticing something wrong and asking questions on there. Then the next step, which can take a while or can be quickly, is being willing to leave the church that you're currently part of. Seems simple. This, you know, I'm asking them why they're not doing, as I understand it from here, from the Bible. They're giving me answers that don't mesh out. Seems like the next step of going to find a different place that is teaching by the Bible would be a logical next step. But not always. People go to church for all sorts of different reasons. And they stay at church for all different reasons. When I was doing programming at a company locally, I learned there's a lot of people there that went to one specific church. And they went there for the business contacts. They hired a new manager. Almost all the time, one of the first things they did is that manager would find out if they were coming from out of town. They would find out, okay, where's the church for the business contacts? From the upper management there. And that's where they would go. Unless it had completely diverse beliefs from how, you know, if they were an atheist, they wouldn't go there. Things like, you know. If it at all fit into their general beliefs, that's the church they went to go. They went to. Didn't matter if there was things here or there that didn't mesh and didn't work with what they believed or understand. They went there. People, especially younger couples, at times will go to church because they have a good child care. They have child care on site. Or they have a good youth program. There's all sorts of ways. They have a school there that is supposed to be good. Church is building around the corner from us is a Catholic church, and they have been known to have a very good school there. You know, people go for all different reasons. If you're going for one of those reasons and you see some pieces different, chances are you're not going to leave. You're going to stay right there. You'll notice the difference. You'll know they exist, but that's not the reason you're going to church in the first place. You're going because they have the daycare, they have the business contacts, some other reason other than furthering your knowledge is your number one concern. Now that kind of gets us to where most of us are at this point, about halfway through. The next thing is understanding that while we are saved by grace, there are expectations on what we are to do in our life. First thing is that we have to keep God's commandments, not man's. And that seems kind of simple. But, you know, there's a lot of people that, and it kind of goes into the once saved, always saved, that all I got to do is believe in Christ, and that's good. Well, that's not what it says in here. And since I mentioned it, let's turn over to Matthew 7:21. Kind of ironic, Sandy. You'll see shortly. Matthew chapter 7. You covered part of this. Verses 21 through 23. Kind of laughed a little bit when you said that. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name, and in thy name we have cast out devils, and in thy name we have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. So not everyone that believes, professes to believe in Christ, believe in the Lord, is going to make it into heaven. That's kind of, understanding that is kind of one of the steps. It goes with, you know, it goes hand in hand with this one. Understanding not everybody is being called. At least not for the first resurrection, that there is fewer people. And understanding that there is something we have to do in addition to saying, I believe in Christ. That itself is good. And by his grace, we are at the point we are. Otherwise, we'd all be out of luck. You know, once saved, always saved? No. By God's grace I am saved? Yes. Will that get me into heaven? Not on its own. It helps me get there. The next stage is, sometimes these are reversed, but the next stage is getting baptized or rebaptized in a Christian's life. And learning that, understanding that we are to be baptized into God's church, not some specific man, not this Baptist church or the Catholic church or this non-denominational church, not, you know, we are being baptized into God's church. And if we left one of them and went to another one, we don't have to be rebaptized. We were baptized, as long as that. And learning that there is a specific way to be baptized, which includes submission. Sprinkling is not enough. A lot of people do think that sprinkling's enough. You sprinkle it over there, and you've been baptized. Nope. And there's also the mikveh that some people will say counts. Mikveh is a bath. It's not a baptism. So, you know, we're learning and getting to that stage that, nope, sprinkling's not good enough. Mikveh. And there's several other ways of being, that there is a specific way of being baptized. Is there exceptions? Yeah, probably, but rarely. The thief on the cross. From reading it, it appears that he had been saved. He had never been baptized. It was going to be tough for him to get baptized since he was being crucified at that moment. So my hunch is, and I can't say it for 100% certain, my hunch is there is those rare circumstances where you can't go through those steps. Whether you physically can't, or you don't have the chance to, or whatever, there are rare exceptions to everything. Christ didn't look at him and say, sorry, you gotta go get baptized first. So you just out of luck. He didn't tell him that, you know. That's not submission. That would have had to have been one heck of a thunderstorm. The next thing is kind of, I understand, so everybody else will. David's talked about this time. You get in, you start learning all these things, you get baptized, you're in the church, you're all enthusiastic. You're like, you know, I understand this. All I got to do is go share this with that person over there, and surely they will understand it, and especially the people in my family or friends. You know, I go share it with them. They will get it. And they don't. But we I know David mentioned it. I've had it. I've known, see other many people this. You know, I just got to go share it with them. They'll get it. It seems like most of us anyway have that as a stage in our life or progression of a Christian. I just got to share it with them. They'll get it. And the next thing comes when you start realizing that they don't get it. Or it comes for some people anyway. The letdown. You're like, God called me. Or sometimes you even question, did he call me? He called me, but I'm not able to share this with people. I'm not able to help bring other people in. So sometimes people have a letdown where either they question or they don't question me. It's like, I'm not doing what I need to do. I'm not being able to help. What am I doing that's wrong? You start questioning yourself at times. And yeah, it can last for days to years. And eventually you get over it. You kind of realize, part of it is realizing that he's not calling everybody. When you kind of put those together and you realize he's not calling everybody, he has called me. If he hadn't called me, I wouldn't be here. You kind of realize, okay, I'll continue doing what I'm going to do, but I'm not going to let it get to me. The next thing is keeping the law strictly. Now, I'm going to say, based on what I've seen, this happens somewhere between 2 and 5 years into your Christian life. You've kind of learned that you have to keep these laws. You learn the food laws. You learn the Sabbath, the holy days, and all this stuff. And I have to keep them 100% strictly by the book, or I'm in trouble. You know, it's not here. I mean, we had Thomas had one time when we were going through the food and had this book chain, why you absolutely could not eat out on the Sabbath and things like that. I was in that ballpark at one time. I will admit it. And we're not supposed to eat out on the Sabbath as a rule and things like that. David and some of his followers ate. I forgot where it was, he was passing through, but he ate some of the showbread. That was forbidden, but he wasn't condemned. David breaks the Sabbath almost every Sabbath. I broke it today. The minister breaks it almost every Sabbath when he's working on the Sabbath. You know, there are times when we have to learn, and it can take a while to get through that point of, you know, just, he said not to do it, I can't do it. One of the funniest things I thought we went through, or I was part of the Statesville Church at that time, was gelatin. And throwing away all sorts of stuff that otherwise was good because it had a little bit of gelatin in it. And most gelatin, at some point or another, comes from the skin or bone of a pig. So therefore, it's absolutely no good. Can't have it. Can't eat it. Now, if somebody still believes this, that's okay, that's your belief. I'm not going to tell you are wrong 100%. I don't hold that belief, personally. I think it's so far away from the meat of a pig by that time, it doesn't matter where it comes from, almost, you know. It's just, to me, that is going too far. To me, this is where the Pharisees were. I was thinking about this early. To me, this is the point of a Christian's life that the Pharisees were. You had to do it this way. If you didn't do this, 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 and this, you were wrong. And that stage can last for quite some time. You know? One thing David mentioned one time, you know, I couldn't eat out, but there was a period of time where he was giving messages here, and then later he was coming down for us in Burlington, and didn't have a chance to eat. So he might get a little hungry as the sun's starting to go down, especially during the summertime when it suns up to 8 or 9 o'clock. And finally, he realized, I'm hungry. I need something to eat. He probably didn't do it on a regular basis. But, you know, if you're hungry, you need to feed yourself. You may not go and get a huge meal. You may just get something tied by. But you need to eat. You need to keep your nourishment up. That's when there's always those few exceptions. And is the exception valid? Only you can say that for yourself. You can ask me what I think, but I can't tell you. I can't tell you 100%. The last one, or the last one that really that I come to, is keeping the spirit, not the rule of the law. To me, based on what I've seen, that's kind of the last stage you get to as a Christian, is that you're okay. I know I got to do all these things. I know that it's not absolutely strict that way, you know. I know. Am I keeping this word as God intended me to? Am I doing it as Christ intended to me to? It may not fit 100% exactly, you know, the keeping it strictly way, but am I doing it that way? You got to keep the commandments. But if I miss one day, one Sabbath, I'm not going to be condemned. I got to keep the holy days. But if something comes up and I get sick and miss one, I'm not going to be condemned. I'm not shut out. I got to keep God's word, not man's word. I said it already. You realize if you miss one Sabbath, you're not going to hell. Janie and I have brother and sister for her, you know. If the church doors are open, they're there. It doesn't matter what else is going on. I'm sorry, but they're wrong. I've told them they're wrong, you know, in a kind of nice way, but that's okay, that's where they're at. They're at the next to the last. They're at the keeping everything strictly stage, and they've been there for, I don't know, 20 years or longer. Yeah, that's where they are. That's what they've been taught. That's what they understand. Will they get it past it sometime? I don't know. But that's where they are. I said, is there occasional exceptions? Yeah. Only you can answer. Are there more steps to this? Is that the last step, last stage in a Christian's life? Now, and we're talking about in the physical man's life. I'm not talking about once you've been resurrected. I can't speak to that. None of us can. Yeah, we haven't been there yet. Are there more stages possible? I personally don't really think so. I think there's sub-steps, and there's learning of knowledge, which we always need to continue gain. And once we get to that stage, we always want to keep knowledge. But I don't know that there's actually any other stage other than just growing, you know. You can't really, we're man, we can't really say 100%. We can, I can honestly say, as I did, that I believe most of us have gone or will go through these steps. Basically in this order, could change a little. But I can't say for sure, 100% sure, that these are the steps you're going to go through and whether there is or not additional steps. David and Ronnie can probably lay out the steps to lay in stone and tell somebody, this is what you do. Greg can do the same thing for installing siding and windows. And they will get you to the final stage on something like that, which is the job done right, everything installed correctly, looking good, and lasting. I can't 100% lay out step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No one can. No man can. On how to be a successful Christian. Other than do what this says. You know. What is the last step? Being in the resurrection. We can all say that. Beyond any shadow of doubt. But how to get there, we can give you these general steps that you're going through. But that's all we can do. Can any one of us completely and without doubt lay out all the steps? Said no. Most of us can in general. As long as we're following what the Bible says in the whole and not little specific things here and there, and not this chapter says this, so that's what I got to do for my entire life. And, you know, as long as we incorporate all of it, we're okay. But until the resurrection comes and we have been changed to spirit, I believe we can get close to all the stages and all the steps right here.